Many of you have written wonderful reflections of your time away on the retreat weekend. Having attended several of those weekends as a leader, I know that time away can be like an awakening. Perhaps you said to yourself, I never knew living my faith could be like this, or I didn't realize I could talk to God as a friend, or I didn't know I could talk with others about God. Perhaps you found out something new about yourself. Up until that point, many of you could have likened your faith life to sitting in a boat on a river. You were there, but you weren't actually in the water. You weren't yet getting wet. Having ridden on the surface of your faith, God may have been inviting you through the retreat weekend to jump in and go swimming. It's like how I feel when I go kayaking. I take in the scenery, enjoy the splashing of the water as I paddle, and I love dragging my hand through the water to cool off. I always have such a sense of well-being when I go kayaking, but I'm still in the boat just observing. What if I became more a part of things? Surrounded by the warm, clear water and subjected to the heat of the sun, the urge to go swimming takes over and I jump in. All those wonderful feelings of peace and contentment are magnified when I immerse myself in the cool water. It can take some effort, though, to go into the water. Maybe it'll be cold, painfully cold. I won't know what the bottom will feel like. Will it be squishy, with plants and mud? Will there be rocks to hurt my feet? Maybe a fish will bite my toes. I can't see all the way to the bottom, so I have to go in on faith. Is it worth the effort? Yeah, I think so. It always seems worth it in the end. It's the same thing with our faith. You have to take a chance, take the risk, if you want to go deeper. Now, as Catholics, we all have to start somewhere, and it begins with following practices and rules. We attend Mass every Sunday and take communion. We go to CCD. We learn our prayers and recite them. We receive the sacraments of baptism, First Communion, and First Penance. We volunteer for service projects. And we try to be good, to follow the rules. And when we fall short, we might go to confession and tell God we're sorry. As we get older, following rules and practices doesn't really work anymore. It starts to feel empty and you begin to wonder, is this all there is to being a Catholic? Perhaps now you realize there is more, a lot more. You've had the experience of taking a dip, so to speak, on your retreat weekend. Some of you have even gone deeper into the water with your volunteer work, such as with ASP. When you are confirmed, you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit, thus strengthening you in God's grace. You are being equipped to go on that longer and deeper swim, diving deep into your faith to discover what lies within. Here's one man's experience with going deeper. Augustine of Hippo lived in ancient times, born only 354 years after Jesus. He didn't come to believe in God until he was in his 30s. That was old in those days. He was eventually made a saint in the Catholic Church. He went through what is known as a conversion, which the dictionary says is a change of attitude, emotion, or viewpoint from one of indifference, disbelief, or antagonism to one of acceptance, faith, or enthusiastic support. He wrote this about what happened to him. Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside, and it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you, yet if they had not been in you, they would not have been at all. Now, this is the important part. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness, you flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me, I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. I have tasted you, now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. You might say that St. Augustine decided to go swimming. It wasn't enough for him to appreciate all the things that God created. He wanted to be fully immersed in God himself. The cool thing about this kind of swimming is that it not only brings you closer to God, you come to discover who you are, too. God knows you better than you know yourself. It says so in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 5. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. God is inviting you to come inside of yourself where it's quiet, to that special space within you, that, quote, inner room that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Matthew, quote, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. It's just you and God alone. And in that space, you begin to learn who you really are, what special gifts and abilities you have, and what you're supposed to do with them. Often you find out who you are and how God figures into your life by going through hard times, such as moving away to another city and leaving your friends behind, being bullied, breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend, your parents divorcing, experiencing the illness or death of a beloved grandparent, or even your mom or dad. People think that suffering like that is random and meaningless, but oh, it's not. It's never easy to go through hard times, and no one wants them. But Jesus showed us that suffering is not the end, but a beginning. It seemed like the end when he died, but then he rose again to new life. This happens to us too. When we are knocked down by something terrible, we too can rise from it and become new people. Okay, now, how many of you have been pressured by your friends to try a scary ride at Six Flags? Raise your hand. Ah, yes, a lot of you. Let's pretend for a moment that you are being coerced by your friends to go down the most intimidating water slide at the park. You know, the one that goes down like a 90-degree angle. They say, this will be so fun, but you are sorry the minute that rushing current carries you away. Too fast, you scream, as you are swept through a multitude of twists, turns, and tunnels so dark that you can't see your hand in front of your face. You have no idea whether or not you will come out in one piece. At times, you cover your eyes because you don't want to see what's coming next. Finally, after what seems like an eternity, you land with a splash, safely in a shallow pool where you catch your breath. Oh, your heart is racing. You may even be angry at your friends for making you go through with it. There's no way you would ever go down that slide again, and yet, at the end, there's this tingling sensation you can't explain, and you wonder, perhaps something good came out of that wild ride. I had a ride like that in my life. It began with taking care of and then losing my parents, first my dad in 2003, and then my mom 7 years later. Caregiving is really hard. It can be chaotic, where you careen from one emergency to the next. You have no time to think or figure out how you feel. You will have to work through some really tough questions, like how the healthcare plan works and whether or not your parents have to go into a nursing home. My sister, brother, and I took care of them, and when our mom finally died, we were worn out. I wanted to retreat from the world, so I went into my inner room to read and to think. I had never been a reader before, but I did like books by Louisa May Alcott. I had my mom's copy of Little Women, plus some other Alcott books, and reading those books made me feel close to my mom. I started writing down my thoughts, both in a journal and online in a blog I created about Louisa May Alcott, and in the process discovered I love to write. I prayed to God about what was happening to me. All this reading and writing about Louisa May Alcott, it made no sense. I hadn't done anything like this before. I felt like I ought to be really sad because my mom had died, and yet all this reading and writing, it made me happy. I actually felt guilty that I wasn't crying, even though I missed my mom a lot. All I knew was that this reading and writing helped me through my grief, so I kept on doing it. The more I read and the more I wrote, the better I became at writing. Reading and writing was teaching me about myself and God. He took care of me, comforted me, but at the same time, he was leading me to a new life. This happened because I agreed to go where God was taking me. I accepted the fact that I lost my mom after a terrible and long illness, even though I didn't understand the way I was grieving, even though I felt really weird, I decided to let God carry me. It was like being in my kayak, floating downstream on the river of God's grace to someplace new. I was figuring out who I was by letting him carry me. It turns out God was leading me into a great adventure. That adventure could not happen unless I agreed to go out in my boat and go swimming. I could stay in that boat and just read and write for pleasure. Or I could go swimming and take it to another, deeper level. It ended up being the adventure of writing my first book, which is being published by Ave Maria Press. Guess what it's called? River of Grace, Creative Passages Through Difficult Times. When I realized what God was asking me to do, I thought it was crazy. Me, a published writer? I hadn't even started reading until 5 years ago. I had no training, no formal schooling in writing, and yet here I am, about to become a published author at the age of 59 on a trajectory to a new professional life. The point of all this? I had gone through a tough stretch taking care of and then losing my dad and mom. I accepted God's invitation, strange as it seemed to me, to do something I had never done before on a regular basis, read and write. Through this, he revealed gifts to me I didn't know I had. I had no idea how to write a book, and I was terrified of failing, but I held on to God with all my might and did what he asked. I not only went swimming, I took a deep dive inside and found out I could do all sorts of things. Write, take chances, face my fears, heck, take a flying leap into the unknown. I could do crazy things like write a book. Our faith life and our regular life, they're all the same life. We may not only just be riding on the surface of our faith, but of our entire life. God has issued you the invitation through your confirmation preparation, and especially on that retreat, to no longer ride on the surface of your life, or to even steer your own boat on that surface, but to leap out of the boat into the water and go swimming, diving down deeper and deeper with God to find out who He is and who you are. You can have amazing adventures in your life, too, by taking that chance to go swimming. The Bible is full of stories of people who have done crazy things because they decided to trust in God. How about Abraham, asked by God to pack up his family and all his belongings and go to a strange land where his descendants would be numbered as the stars in the sky? Abraham was an old man who had no children. Yet, God gave him and his wife Sarah a son. At one point, Abraham was even tested, asked to sacrifice this one and only son. He trusted in God's promise, and his son was saved. In the end, God fulfilled his promise, making Abraham the father of many nations. Now, how about Mary? Certainly it was crazy for her to agree to become pregnant with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, even though she wasn't yet married to Joseph. She could have been stoned to death. How was she to cope? What was Joseph supposed to do? They both decided to trust in God, and in the end, made it possible for Jesus Christ to come into the world as the Messiah. God asks us to do crazy things too. They seem crazy because it's not possible for us as human beings to see God's wider picture. We have to instead trust that He knows what He is doing. He knows what is best for us because He knows what's best. This kind of trust is hard, very hard sometimes. But when I imagine God's grace as a flowing river, it makes it easier for me to give God that trust because I can picture it. Attaching something physical from this world to a mysterious spiritual truth helps me to learn that truth and to live it. There are so many ways to find God in the physical, in the everyday things of life. Our church is the perfect example, with stained glass windows telling us stories from the Bible. We hear God's word in the readings at Mass, and we use our voices to sing to Him. The smell of the incense reminds us of Him. We taste Him when we receive communion, the body and blood of Christ, housed within common elements, bread and wine. But God is not just inside a church. He is everywhere in the world and inside of us and waiting to be invited to come into every aspect of our lives. This is why, for me, finding a metaphor, a symbol of God's grace in a river introduced to me by a simple recreational activity, kayaking, was so important. My eyes had been opened. I began to see God everywhere around me. We are all hoping that you too are beginning to see God beyond this church building, beginning with your time away on the retreat. For on that retreat, you began to see God in each other. You heard him in the various talks given by the leaders. You experienced his forgiveness during the Sacrament of Reconciliation. You felt his touch through the laying on of hands. How do you make that experience of the retreat continue? By taking the time and having the intent. Make a point of setting aside time away from family, friends, school, and work on a regular basis to be quiet with God. This is how it begins. Doesn't have to be a lot of time at first, 5 to 10 minutes per day, at a point during your day when you know you can be quiet. Perhaps first thing in the morning, or even as you go to bed at night. Building a relationship with God takes practice and discipline, those very things you apply to your sports, music, and schoolwork. It can feel really dry at first. You wonder if you are getting anywhere, if God even hears you. Days, weeks, even a month might go by with nothing. But then, just as you practice hard for a team sport, or with your musical instrument, or struggle to understand Shakespeare or a math problem, you have a breakthrough. Suddenly, it becomes easier and more enjoyable. You learn something. You have an epiphany. Ah, that's how I'm supposed to run that play. That's how that song is supposed to sound. Now I get what Shakespeare meant. Algebra finally makes sense. I can feel God within me. Just as you develop discipline with your schoolwork and activities, you develop spiritual disciplines in getting to know God. The cool thing is that you can be creative in developing ways to spend time with Him. And I guarantee that if you stick with it, you will have that breakthrough moment. You will know God is with you, and you will begin to see Him in all kinds of unlikely places. You will sense Him talking to you, telling you wonderful things, and inviting you on adventures. You begin going beneath the surface and taking that swim. I'd like to share some ideas, tools, and practices with you to help you develop your own practices. You've been given 2 sheets. The first one is a list of various practices and books to read with websites where you can find them. Let's put that one aside for a moment and look at the second sheet called Finding, Creating, and Using Your Own Spiritual Disciplines. If you look through it quickly, you'll see they're not the usual things that you hear about in church. The point of this exercise is to think about something that you enjoy doing and then building that bridge to God, making that connection. Hopefully, the ideas on this sheet will stimulate your own ideas. These are just suggestions. You need to find what works for you and apply it. Now, the best way to get to know God, to see Him all around you, is to ask. Just ask Him to come to you. On the back of your handout is a song which poses the question, "Will you teach me to be loved?" Let's learn the chorus together so you can ask God to teach you how to receive Him. Get the guitar here. This song is really easy. What I'm going to do, if you look on your sheets, you'll see the chorus, which is in bold type. Okay? I'm going to sing it to you, all right? Oh, will you teach me to be loved? And will you teach me to receive the bounty of your endless grace? Yeah. And give me reason to believe there's something greater than me. Let's try that together. Oh, will you teach me to be loved? And will you teach me to receive the bounty of your endless grace? Yeah, and give me reason to believe there's something greater than me. Here we go. Just today, I awoke with a feeling of something new. Something's here, just as real as can be, and it hidden from view. It was there all along, buried down so deep inside. Stumbling through my nighttime of darkness, I tried to make the other side, to that place where the fire was warm and would draw me near, melting away every doubt in my head, every single fear. I've been wandering far, often lost and often alone. Now I see it was right here inside me, inviting me to come on home. Sing it out! Oh, will you teach me to be loved? And will you teach me to receive, can't hear you, the bounty of your endless grace, yeah, and give me reason to believe there's something greater than me. Good. It was you in the warmth of the sun, in the stars at night. It was you. You were there in the child who was holding my hand so tight. You were there all along. Quietly you called out my name, speaking through all those who have loved me. You touched me and I'm not the same. Together! Oh, will you teach me to be louder? And will you teach me to receive? Great! The bounty of your endless grace, yeah, and give me reason to believe there's something greater than me. Excellent! You have opened my eyes, and I see you everywhere. I must open my heart now, and let you show me how much you care. Yeah. Oh, teach me. When I look at the cross, when I would partake of the bread, you were in there with your arms reaching, hoping that the word be said. Well, I said, sing it out! Oh, will you teach me to be loved? And will you teach me to receive the bounty of your endless grace? Yeah, you gave me reason to believe. I believe. In the bounty of your endless grace, yeah, you give me reason to believe. There's something greater than me. Oh, I believe. Thank you so much. Thank you. That was great.